I'd really like to see you all here at Sheffield for the fourth in our series of events on City Week of Mayors. The election of the mayors in May 2017, and I'm assuming this is still going ahead because you might realise there's a couple of things going on in Westminster today. But we're assuming it's also happening a few weeks of mayors across a mix of local authorities in Sheffield City Region. The Tees Valley, Greater Manchester, Liverpool City Region, the West Midlands, the North East, and maybe more places, who knows. And it's quite historic moments, actually. Within the UK, London is the only city with a metro mayor at the moment, so a mayor not just for a local authority area, but across a number of local authorities. But around the world, powerful local mayors are actually more. You see increasingly in countries not only that you've got these mayors making decisions about their local area, but also being on the international stage. In countries like the United States, where federal government, as Bruce Katz, so if you think on these issues, says, has left the building. You know, they're getting on with lots of things. Actually, it's the cities and city mayors getting on with things, making policies happen, making sure their areas are working, and they've got things not just within their country, but around the world. And I think that those are local leaders also have increasingly greater trust in them to implement things, and that's certainly the case in the UK, where there's far higher trust in local leaders than there is in national MPs. I think one of the messages from the referendum a couple of weeks ago is there's a real desire for more decisions to be taken locally reflecting some of the local issues. There's huge potential for the new mayor of Sheffield City Region to be someone with a high national profile, someone who's going out to bat for the area when it comes to public investment, private investments, the national conversation about what's happening in local areas, and just ensuring more decisions are made in a way that reflects local issues, local concerns, and local knowledge. And we need to wait and hear about the direction of travel in the new Theresa May government. We've now got Sajid Javid, is the new Secretary of State for Communities and Local Government. And Greg Hart, who's been a real champion of this agenda, has gone off to the new department, the new creative department of Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy. Acronyms be confirmed, but that's what we know so far. So I think things are still moving, but it certainly seems If the movement continues on the trajectory it's been, and if places like Sheffield, City Region, follows the Greater Manchester example, and keeps on doing new deals, keeps on getting new powers, Greater Manchester's on its fourth deal so far. So actually this could be the start of getting more and more powers at the Sheffield City Region level. That's what people in Sheffield City Region want. But if the new mayors are going to realise their potential, there's a need for strong public debate and public engagement about what the mayors should do, what they should be thinking about. And we recently did a poll that found that just under half of local residents of Sheffield City Region knew about the mayor. Now, that's not bad. The year after the election, which is when we did the polling in May, we need to do better. And we need to have a much bigger conversation about what mayors should do, what should they be thinking about, what are the priorities. As an organisation that's been arguing for mayors for years, we think this is crucial. And that's why we've been running these series of events, we've been doing research with the public, and we'll be doing more of that over the months ahead. And the results of the research we did are on your chairs, so you have a chance to have a look at them. But for the area, worth highlighting, more than half, 56% of the people we spoke to in your area, want the local mayor to have more powers than council leaders. So there does seem to be an appetite for strong leadership and for a mayor that can make the decisions. When they were asked what the top priority was, 3 in 10 said healthcare, which is interesting. The mayor doesn't have healthcare in their remit. And the next things were emergency services and housing and schools. And housing is the only one where the new mayor will have some influence. So when we asked about the powers or the areas where the mayor does have power, affordable housing was top, followed by a city region strategic plan, followed by rail and road networks. But this was done before the referendum. Things are changing rapidly, and how is now along with London politics. There may be new things on people's minds. So this event is all about having a conversation about what should the mayor of the city be doing in their first 100 days and beyond. And I'm absolutely delighted to have some speakers with us. We've got Lord David Blunkett, Professor of Politics and Practice at the University of Sheffield, and I don't really need to introduce David Blunkett, so all of you. Former MP for Sheffield Brightside, Hillsborough, and you know. We've got June Smith, Regional Membership External Affairs Manager for EEF, the manufacturing organisation. And I know you've been looking at some of the impact of the recent Brexit decision, you've been thinking about manufacturers and employers' perspective and what should the mayor do. And I'm also really pleased to have Dr. Craig Berry, who's Deputy Director of the Sheffield Political Economy Research Institute, and giving your reflections on what should the priorities be. That's more than enough from me. What we've asked is for each of you to have about 5 minutes to talk about some of the, or the three key policies we've set, for the mayor and their first 100 days. And can I ask David, would you like to
start? Thank you very much, and thanks to all of you for coming this evening. I'm only making this clear because we do have a Liberal councillor who's also in the Lords, that I have no intention of putting my name forward to the Labour Party to be the Metro Mayor. So I just thought I'd get that out of the way straight away. I'm proud to chair the Sheffield Partnership Board, which is a voluntary operation, and to be working with people already who are starting to think these things through. Professor Heather Campbell from the University who's been working not just with the N8 and Northern Universities on co-production and the importance of being able to contribute directly and practically to this agenda, but also on the consultancy that she's leading in terms of what people think, what people want from both the community and from the business, trade union and civic world, and how that might feed in actually to the debate that we're having this evening. I'm down to do 5 minutes, so I should be really quick. Firstly, I think that the new Metro Mayor should pray, if they are in any way religious or whatever faith, because they're going to need it. I was asked to do 3 quick points. Firstly, the manifesto, which I shan't predict tonight, but I hope, building on the Fairness Commission that's taken place in Sheffield and the work that's gone on in parts of London, Doncaster and parts of the East Midlands, that we'd actually see that manifesto being very much about the city region as a whole and healing the divide economically, socially, culturally that exists within the region. I mean, we've got a real problem because the district councils can't even really properly talk to each other. This goes back a very long way. There's nothing new about this. When I was on South Yorkshire County Council, back in the 1970s, there was this standoff, which is incredibly dangerous and damaging, and which you don't see in places like Greater Manchester, so we've just got to get over it. My first point, therefore, is with the manifesto agreed by the winning party, try and get a quick win, because people won't know who you are. Well, those in this room will, because you're taking an interest, but the population outside probably won't have the first idea of the name of the individual, even if they've been very highly promoted, and there's not a lot of time to do that. And therefore you need a quick win in order to demonstrate that your place in the world actually can deliver something, and deliver something that people can cling on to and see as a first step. So that's number one. Number two is, for goodness sake, try and reach out. There's going to be a real debate about the role of councillors and councils within the city region. And if the sounding board is only the combined authority city leaders, then that's not going to touch anybody out there. So I would advise setting up a forum. We've been experimenting for the University of Sheffield with citizens, juries, and work's gone on between Southampton University and Sheffield on this. We need some way of both engaging the public and giving a role to councils across the city region authorities that actually relates what the council and councillors are doing to what the city, what the combined authority and the Metro Mayor's doing, because otherwise there won't be engagement, there'll be the kind of sovereign leader which we're into in a big way at the moment, including my own party, where all power lies and all wisdom rests with the sovereign leader, or whatever the leader of North Korea is called at the moment. So we need a form of real participation engagement that will draw the strength right across the community of people in the area, and there is enormous strength to draw. The third is not just an economic, you'll be talking about the economic business community, but not just an economic infrastructure agenda, critical as that is, but a social and inclusion agenda, so that social policy and economic policy, and I hope Craig will be able to say a word about this, could go hand in hand above all, learning from what's happened in the past, the Metropolitan County Councils were here, Matt Flinders from the Crick Centre, and I've written a paper for to be published by a brilliant quarterly about this. We've got a lot of history to draw down on, about mobilising that partnership and those strengths, about actually making contact, not just with other city regions and the links that they can bring, but also given the decision by the electorate on leaving Europe to create something like a Hanseatic League, where cities across Europe can join, city regions can join together and learn together and work together in an entirely new partnership. And I hope they'll try and do that. We tried in the 80s, linking up from Sheffield with Bologna and others, when we were forging economic development and transport innovation, and I hope we can do it again. In other words, to try and see this as much broader than what is this about in terms of the city region, but what dynamic, what energy, what drive can it create? Because we are literally going to have nobody else to blame anymore. We're not going to get help from the central government. I don't envisage that Boris will be visiting us as the Foreign Secretary, but I'd like us to develop and create an entity of our own that uses the enterprise, the entrepreneurship, the innovation that is the history of this area in new ways. And if we can do that, then we stand a chance of being able to stand on our feet, not actually being victims, but being a driving force for change. If Greater Manchester can do it, we can do it.
Thanks, David. I think a really powerful set of proposals there, and I think that point that you're making about the mayor not just sticking to just the core powers in a way, but going a bit beyond that to think about a much wider agenda. Because a lot of the powers we've done it, but actually you're saying they should be thinking much bigger than that. I think that's really powerful. Ken in London did the congestion charge, which wasn't really in his powers, so he just decided that was the focus, and we've got to think about it again. Thank you. June, of course.
Comments before I start. I mean, I'm playing this in the mayor and the combined therapy union family, so I'm going to mention one or the other. They are interchangeable, so apologies if that's not the case. It's quite right. My focus is on the business community. I am from the manufacturing organisation, EEF, the Employees Engineers Federation. So I don't want you to think I'm just getting this at manufacturing, because it's probably the So when one considers the diversity of the British manufacturing sectors in terms of size, structure, heritage and the subsectors, it's hardly surprising that we yet to have conversations about the evolution that opinions could be different very much. But there are a number of common themes between versions which I'm going to touch on, which I suppose could be the focus of policy and education as opposed to the ideas. Firstly, the blueprint for devolution should ensure that both businesses and local government work together to identify the most pertinent barriers to growth and the remedies to overcome them. An elected mayor for Sheffield City Region has the potential to make a step change in the effectiveness of the aid between the private sectors, dispelling the private sector confidence issues, and providing leadership with a collaborative goal of creating an environment which optimizes growth. Many companies don't have faith in the capacity and capability of local authorities to deliver on the evolution policies. Too often, the relationship between local authorities and businesses has been transactional, with only a small number of business leaders engaged in strategy development. I asked the Sheffield-based business owner this morning what would be the key change they would like to see, and without hesitation, the requirement was they'd like local planners to demonstrate an understanding of business drivers and priorities in their decision making. To ensure that this devolved decision making really delivers promises tailored to meet the needs of the economy, the business voice needs to be a crucial partner at the local level. Not only to guide decisions on what should and shouldn't be needed in the future, but to play a role in how devolved powers can be put to the best tangible and positive outcomes. As one CEO said to me recently, we simply need to know where we are. Do we have an industrial strategy? Let's understand what we're going to do, get on with it, and stick to it. different organisations and sectors will have to figure out how this engagement works best to take into account the role of the sector. From a manufacturing point of view, the EEF, as a representative for manufacturing, engages closely with members and non-members on the range of issues affecting businesses, offering stakeholders an aid to understanding business issues. Engagement could take place in Sheffield City region utilising the EEF, either through our regular forums such as our region advisory boards, or working with myself and the EEF director and producer to facilitate true understanding of the needs of our manufacturers. Ultimately, this engagement will need a step change. It will need to be structured, timely and sustained. Businesses need clarity on what information is sold. Why and when information is needed in a crucial way, how are they going to get feedback? The process needs to be transparent and start with a realistic overview of where local authorities feel they can and should have value, and where apps and where the apps are clear where they can and should not. My second point, and I promise I haven't seen this survey in advance, this is really interesting because I'm touching on transport here from a business perspective. Manufacturers believe the current debate on demolition in England is not focused enough on growth. Manufacturers view transport investment as an economic enabler, not just in terms of enabling people to access jobs and businesses to access migrant talent pools, but to EEF surveys, manufacturers place good transport infrastructure 4 on the list of factors determining where they will locate their next global investment. Whilst rail, motorways and air roads are deemed to be the job of Whitehall, local manufacturers expect local authorities to have a better understanding of their local transport requirements. For example, through effective business engagement, the barriers for a free flow of movement across the local authority boundaries could be overcome with a combined authority approach, which may, for example, support the 24-hour shift system, or provide more timely access to manufacturing hubs and industrial estates, which are often out of the town. Thirdly, many of the critical contributors to a stronger, productive and growing economy are evident in the manufacturing sector. So be ambitious about local growth. An initial priority may be to consider how support could boost the recessionary forces that may arise until Brexit trade deals are signed. I was with a company earlier today in the automotive supply chain, and they said that whilst their large parent company based in America, they've delayed deals and haven't cancelled them. But maybe some confidence and some support they can get in the intermediary period to stop those orders from cancelling. Manufacturers desire a consistent approach to business support, promoting duplication of programmes and frequent changes in provision. When formulating support programmes, it's best to consider that manufacturers are twice as more likely to be exporters than any other sector in the economy. They invest 6 times more in R&D than their output share of the economy. Their investment in machinery is 3 times higher than their output share of the economy. And between 2000 and 2013, the proportion of hours worked in manufacturing by employees with no qualifications as now, whilst those employees with degrees has gone up by 60%.
Thanks, June. I think some really interesting points there about the need for ambition at a local level and really engaging and making sure businesses are clear how they engage and where they can make a real difference and where they're not.
I want to make 3 main points and 2 little quick points. That's right,
most people
see 3
as that. Yes.
So my view is that the evolution agenda as it stands, so as it does still stand, is unsustainable probably. For 3 reasons, it won't deliver higher growth. Economies, and it won't even deliver meaningful devolution in terms of actual power over our local economies. I mean, post-Brexit, which is a bad thing in my view, we do have a chance to rethink that. and in particular the philosophy behind the evolution of the Powerhouse agenda. As we've known today, the philosophy is based on this idea of collaboration, which privileges the role and the idea that of the market economy. Free markets, it very much relies on that sort of neoclassical orthodox economics, understanding the way the economy works. In my view, not only is there no evidence of success of agglomeration, there's no evidence that it even really exists. Cities are successful when they encase public and collaborative spaces, in both social and economic terms, and these spaces go far beyond interactions that purely marketize. So I mean, I've been studying this for a very long time. I don't think there's a single example of a city that I've ever come across here or internationally that has succeeded without the integral and multiple role that state plays in our economy. Although agglomeration theory purely sees public authorities as market impediments and wants them to get out of the way. And there's also no theoretical or empirical link between agglomeration and devolution. Where agglomeration has been shown to work, apparently, and it's not necessarily because the power has been devolved to those cities. There are very few cases of that, in any case. And even if we imagine a world where agglomeration did work, it would lead to much greater geographical inequalities in the greater than we have at present, because agglomeration, in theory, reward the areas that in which markets appear to work and disguise the areas that they don't. So I think we need a devolution of real power over our country to local authorities, and it must go hand in hand with a change in the philosophy that probably underpins the devolution. We might be able to get that, it seems, but I suspect not, given that the key Osborneites, as we said earlier, has now been put in charge of the PCOG. We don't quite know where the old Powerhouse agenda will end up in the new government if it goes with him, and I don't think the philosophy will change very much. My second point is that I think the new mayor in office, which I broadly support in terms of political structure, I think it must be used as a platform for rethinking relations between central government and local government, not about what local government is or what it does, what relation it has with the centre. I think the centre itself needs to reform to reflect the interests and characteristics of all localities. You know, Westminster and Whitehall model needs to be part of the past now if you want to make Northern Powerhouse a reality. So we need a centre that supports local economic development through industrial policy. I'm sure he's amazing if you recognise that industrial policy. That comes to pass, but we don't even know how to approach. What it does, it has to be a national industrial strategy within which localities can find their place and deliver the specialisms which they historically hold. And a good example of this, I suppose, is local banking. There's a lot of momentum now behind the idea of the local banking network, which I, for the most part, support. I don't think a local banking network trying to invest more in the local economy can possibly work without change at the centre too, in the way that our banks are regulated in our banking culture and what we do with IBS, for instance, which is the elephant in the room. Always when we talk about banking reform. For me, the question that should propel debate about devolution is not what can we devolve, it should be where should power reside. Let's think about powers that have a meaningful impact on our economies and think about where they should best be located. Some of them will be at the centre, and others will be, and others should be. Some of them will be local. We need to think big picture in terms of centre-local relations. And my first substantive point really on policy, one of the most uncertain is Brexit. Well, Brexit does effectively dismantle the Northern Powerhouse because it undermines all of the local growth plans that have been put in place in the last few years, because most of them, especially those in the north, are based on the idea of exporting more to Europe, and that is obviously going to be more challenging from now on. However, whatever kind of Brexit we end up with, I mean, obviously the UK wants to leave, and it will do so. Sheffield wants to leave the EU too, which I think presently a great deal. But I think one thing the new mayor can do is push for a new relationship with Europe. Again, one of the things I was doing to Twitter, which David Davis has said today, there will be no EU-like model, there will be no European regions. It feels all of the UK out, and it doesn't want any devolved nations or regions have a different kind of relationship with Europe than the UK has. And so maybe this is off the agenda, as long as it's in the process. But, I mean, it is nevertheless the case, despite Theresa May's seemingly unopposed assent to the Prime Minister's office. The Metropolitan really has never really been weaker philosophical terms. So there is a chance for us to redefine the kind of relationship that Sheffield and South Yorkshire have with Europe. I think there are parties within the European Union that would be amenable to that conversation taking place. So the new mayor absolutely needs to be around the negotiations and needs to force him or herself into those negotiations and use the platform as that new mayor office to do so. Two other very quick points. I think one of the downsides of the mayoral model is an individualistic and adversarial style of politics establishes that, further entrenches it. And it seems likely that Sheffield's meetings, you know, will be in that. That style of politics, for whatever reason, tends to go on men or women, and that's something that, whereas Nicola Sheffield has a good tradition recently of having female council leaders. So I think Labour needs to consider actually having an all-woman shortlist for the new mayor, which would really take it out, even if he weren't minded to stand in his shades and that. What should we do that might be able to contribute more is in terms of Labour in general and how the Labour Party sees the initiative of this evolution at the moment represents. As flawed as it is, I don't necessarily think at the moment it's a way to renew local economies and the local economies interact with the centre. It isn't actually a way to renew the Labour Party, which may be a way to long term goal. So, I mean, obviously at the moment I don't need to go into detail about this, but Labour's national leadership is in disarray for the short election of the summer, of course. So I think in Sheffield, the new mayor needs to almost sort of ignore all that stuff and just seize the moment for the Labour Party to become more federalist itself and use this platform from the Mayor office to renew the party and use that as leverage at the national level, whoever ends the Labour Party by the time of the next one.
Thank you. Again, some interesting points there. I think certainly rethinking that relationship between the centre, actually a lot of people don't realise quite how big a deal this is. This is changing some of the ways in which decisions get made and whether it's enough. Some of your points or not, I think it certainly means we need some change at the centre. I have a long debate about agglomeration and whether it's, you know, the theory of agglomeration or actually a practice. I think you are seeing the real need for the state, and I think everybody recognises that, so it's about working out what it is. But that's a whole other debate.
Just before you open to the questions, Alex, can I just say, I think we've got to get out of this view that government give us powers or prevent us doing things. There's no way David Davis can prevent a city region linking it with Bologna or, Barcelona. Or, I mean, he just cannot.
Yeah.
And the idea that he thinks he can is an outrage, to be honest, in terms of our rights as citizens and as people engaged in politics. So, stop fighting back on this.
Well, I think one of the points that you made, David, about the Hanseatic League, they're sort of really powerful potentially. There's global parliament of mayors happening in September, in the Hague. There's all sorts of city networks, and that's not quite what we're talking about, but you know, there's lots of city region networks out there. And certainly around the world, a lot of cities are thinking about this. I think Sadiq Khan and Anne Hidalgo, the mayor of London, mayor of Paris, instantly announced cooperation one day after Brexit. They said, right, well, we're going to work together, whatever happens at national level. So I think there's a it'd be really interesting to hear your thoughts and questions on that as well. I've got lots of questions, but I'll throw open to the floor and then come back with some questions. So there's lots to debate and all the positions you've got, but do any of you have any questions? We've got a microphone, I think. Great. I'm going to start with, can we have a microphone or what would this be having? Can you just say who you are and where you're from? So I'm going to start here. I've got four and then I'll come back to the panel.
My name is Perry Ismail. I'm just an ordinary Sheffield resident. I came here in 2000, so past 15 years I'm living in Sheffield. Manchester was mentioned earlier on, but also Leeds, I think. So I've seen Leeds grow bigger than Sheffield over the past 15 years, 16 years. So I'm just finding wondering, you know, what maybe right, wrong, or what we did not do. Is there anybody who have seen things like that? What do you think?
So what can we learn from what some of the other cities have done and what the new mayor wants to learn from that?
This was even before any devolution or house or whatever. So that is what I think the Craig was saying, that there's no link between cities growing to 100,000 like Leeds,
yeah,
and us is still 500,000 like 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, really good points. Questions here?
Yes, again, I'm just a resident, but I was slightly...
Can we say, not just say just a resident, residents are the people voting for this. Can we
just say
resident?
I was going to say, I'm originated in Northern Portland, and I'm 40 years. I'm now retired. I was a businessman with a big international company like Siemens and Rolls-Royce, but I'm now retired, and as soon as I retire, I have a chance to look at more democracy. Now, one thing I'd like to make is this new, what they call the Sheffield City Region Climate Authority, it exists at the moment. When we're only creating another job in that structure, and we have been trying to follow that structure for the past 2 years with great difficulty. It's very difficult for the public to get involved. And I would suggest the first priority for any new mayor, which is called a captainship, is to talk to grassroots people.
Yeah.
To find some way of us meeting locally, communicating upwards. I mean, to use the latter, George Orwell wrote a novel many years ago called Animal Farm, and to be honest, we're very, very close to that now.
Okay, great point about the need for communication and transparency, and I'll come back to you about whether it is Animal Farm now or not. So, there's a question here, and as I say, if you're a resident, please don't say just a resident, just say resident.
I'm Gordon Millwood, Regional Chairman for the Federation of Small Business South and East Yorkshire. I was on the council with David as well, in opposition, of course, but that he always walked all over me. But apart from that, there's a lot of things which have been brought up, but I think the business sector of it is one of the major factors. We need more skills training. If the mayor has anything he can do with that, we need more. We've got a marvellous university town, but we're way behind all the countries on skills training, on getting people. The marvellous people of Sheffield and South Yorkshire who are able to do jobs and don't really get the opportunity, don't get the funding. So that is one part of the mayor. I've just come back from Manchester to conference for 2 days and we had the mayoral debate there. They've done a marvellous job. If we could do 50% of it, but Manchester are out looking as well. They want to join together. So one of the major things for the mayor is to work with the other people, work with the other LEPs, so that we can keep politics out of it, really. LEP is supposed to be based by business people. Let's get that across the country, work together. I went to a debate in Leeds, and nobody wanted to work together, as David said. We've got to work together, we've got to work with the idea. The Northern Power Act will never start going unless mayors and people in authority get together, work together, so we can do something. So it is very exciting. Which way it's going to go? If we could follow Manchester's lead, then we'll be doing very well. Unfortunately, Sheffield's behind quite a way. But they've got to work with the surrounding areas and the other LEPs and all the areas together.
Great. Okay, I'm going to take one more comment and then just come back to the panel for some reflections and then go back out to it. So there was one at the back and I'm going to come to you afterwards.
Colin Cuthbert from De Montfort University. Just a quick question. I noticed on the sheet that you gave out, part of the survey says that 56% of people think that elected mayors should have more powers than council leaders. I'm just astounded it's only that few. But my question is, how do you make sure that that happens? Because what I do know is that the constitutions that people are looking for combined authorities are, not to put too fine a point on it, hobbling the mayors, and that's been deliberately achieved by the way in which the constitution was drafted by councils and councillors. And what concerns me is that you will simply have a figurehead mayor, you'll have raised expectations, and rather than a mayor controlling the cabinet, you'll have a cabinet controlling the mayor, and all you've really created is a super powerful council committee. So how can we make sure that the mayors have the powers they need to act?
Really interesting question. And that's the point about you have a two-thirds veto, so if the other leaders have two-thirds vote against something, then they can veto what the mayor's doing, and that's different to the London model, and some say it's not. The mayor's still too strong, and some say the mayor's too weak. I think there's the point Colin's making is that they're too weak, essentially. David, can I come to you for some reflections? So some points there about learning from needs, better communication and transparency, kind of getting on with things, and then
I think we should be looking outwards and grabbing, plagiarising whatever we can. We haven't had a history of doing this, actually. We've been fairly insular in believing that, I mean, I was as guilty as anybody else all those years ago, believing that we were doing things better than anybody else, and they ought to learn from us. I've learned a bit since. I think the point you were making was about growth as well. Actually, the population of Leeds grew because the boundaries were extended and we took in shipping anywhere else. So I think that the population growth of Sheffield, as opposed to the city region as a whole, has been quite substantial. What we've got to try and do is to ensure that the dynamic, the, if you like, the energy levels spread outwards, and people don't see the city as a threat. They see it as a force for good in terms of being a magnet for inward investment and an output in terms of helping to generate activity, including growth in the region as a whole. And if people don't see that, then there will be conflict. I agree entirely about participation. Point I was making earlier, without engagement with people themselves, it will just be a top-down nothingness, and people will get disillusioned and even more distrustful, as they do with politics and social government. And we saw a lot of that in the debate over the referendum. So, I mean, I actually did agree with my former battleground opponent about the points you were making, not just the wider points of learning and working together, but also on developing an internal agenda of our own. We know what we can do with skills. Part of the work that Heather's engaged in is about mapping, scoping what we need to do. We've been through this before and we messed it up. We had something called the Learning and Skills Council nationally. We devolved the learning and skills agenda to the sub-region. It was then re-nationalised again, just at the point where people were beginning to engage with each other on a forward look about skills. There's no point in a skills agenda that replicates something that's already dying. I mean, the problem we've got in our region is very low pay. That wasn't true in the past. Sometimes there were lousy jobs, but in relative terms, they were high-paying jobs. They're not anymore. I think that's going to be a big challenge for the incoming mayor and the combined authority to lift horizons and make progress in work as well as getting a job an absolute priority.
Absolutely. Jean, your thoughts on both the points about communication and transparency, just so you know, and also your thoughts on kind of business, about just get on with it. Stop the politics, get on with it and get on with some music as well.
Yeah, I mean, just a few things that were said there. First of all, the Government of the Federation of Small Businesses. I wholeheartedly agree that getting the right skills at the right time is what matters is actually. I was told in a brief of what we were just doing, what we were doing, what we were doing, per se, it would have been skills. I think
that's the end.
I do think the mayor's got an opportunity to make a step change. I think it would be a great change if it was just the one that I had to sit on the path. And I do think, in terms of that top-down approach, that would be a step change. I mentioned at the very beginning that we don't have a typical manufacturing facility, a typical company. You're coming off different shapes and sizes, no one size doesn't get followed. And very often when I'm going out to business and I ask, you know, what the level is, 50% of the companies can be what the level is. So I concur that it's not a lot in the development process. But I think in the first 3 months, that is the key challenge, the communication. Yes, people seem to hang on to where they can believe this will change and it will make a difference. And I'm coming from the business sector, but rather this business sector community, that is what the mayor's got to do. He's got to prove this isn't just a politics. People see politics from all the time.
Yeah.
He's got to prove what she's got to prove. I don't think that is my woman. Like, as a woman, I get a little bit sick about people who say, well, no, but the women do this. In my view, my leadership sector. So skills, yes. Bottom up, rather top down, yes. I think that's it for now.
And Craig, just a couple of reflections from you, particularly on that kind of animal farm point. You know, is it all just quite difficult to know what's going on? And that point about how do you make sure the veterinarian isn't just a figurehead?
A lot of respect for colleagues' work in these areas, but I'm not sure there's a problem with them there that's just a figurehead, at least figurehead some extent, because all of the local authorities in Sheffield City region, like other city regions, are going to have to work together and cooperate. There isn't going to be any progress. So I don't see why they shouldn't all have a seat on the table. The Sheffield City region isn't really a meaningful polity. It's not somewhere where there's going to be I think it would be quite dangerous to have some all powerful mayor who every few years is elected and has a vast majority of the powers at their disposal over the rest of the city region. So I think it's very important that all parts of the city region are represented well in the governance model. And that for me would go in tandem with this idea that we should have more of a participatory model of democracy as well, which again would be less easy to implement if there was a more powerful city region mayor. I think we can experiment with our democratic processes at the local level and really we cannot. Participatory budgeting where actual citizens turn up to meetings, not just putting X across someone's name and passing their votes, but actually turn up to meetings and deliberating on the work and putting money should be invested. I mean, we absolutely need to move towards that, and there's very little sign of the evolution. The evolution agenda as it stands is going in that direction, but I think it needs to. I wanted to make one comment as well about Leeds and Manchester and why they may be outperforming Sheffield. I think there's definitely sort of stronger history recently of better cooperation between the local authorities in those areas, which has been important. David's absolutely right to point out that Leeds Council has bigger boundaries, takes in more areas, which has helped devise an economic strategy which has benefited Leeds in the last decade or so. But you have to look at the risks in some economic model that Leeds are going to pursue as well. Very much based, very much going towards services. Their economy is quite strong in commercial services, low value added finance, not the city of London to any extent. Property and leisure are quite important in Leeds and Manchester as well. And almost like paradoxically, you'd expect that kind of stuff to have been affected by the recession. It was actually quite protected by the recession for two main reasons. One is the quite incredible banking tax bailout that the Tory government took on. And added to that, the quite incredible ongoing support that the housing market in the UK receives. And secondly, the central government has acted to maintain consumption, and these kind of services very much rely on consumers, increasingly indebted consumers, buying these services. Now, with an economy like Sheffield, which is more based on manufacturing, increasingly low value manufacturing, which at the moment, but the recession affected investment more than affected consumption. Services rely on consumption, manufacturing relies on investment. But the next recession might not be the same.
Great, thank you. And I think on that participatory budgeting, but there's an interesting thing happening in Bristol now with the new mayor, Marvin Rees, where he's put something online where you can basically go online and they need to cut 60 million over the next 4 years, and you can just toggle the different things and take a decision about what the impact of your spending cuts is. And he went into a school, and the first thing the school children did was cut his salary to nothing. He had to argue why he should be paid a little bit. He said he wasn't that successful, but it was above nothing by the end. I think that's an example of where he's certainly trying to put some of the participatory stuff into practice. Some more questions. There's a question right here. There's a few hands, so I'm going to get a whole bunch of questions, if that's right. I'm going to as many questions as I can now. I'll be making mention, so I'll come back. So, starting just here, please.
Andrew Bassey, I work at the University of Sheffield, but very recently I was a civil servant in BIS, in Sheffield, working on devolution. She was doing business course and then latterly the other skills with it. So actually very close to this in terms of government. And quite interesting Craig's comments, because the movement in civil service very much is totally against the evolution. You know, it's absolutely, you know, the arguments that have to be had. You know, this is wanting to have this, and it's obviously driven by the George Osmond primarily. So I do, you know, I do wonder about the work, how much it will survive. And you know, this kind of politics game here, which is in my view, but would it be just this kind of toothless as it has been so far in many states? Because the question of, are you just involved in a cut? You know, some nominal powers, but really, there's kind of big issues there. But I think it's interesting to see how it will play out. I've always been forward, I think, philosophically, the idea that actually we do have some more comparable local level to determine our own fate. And I completely agree with Craig, though, that the link between the local and national is really important. And think, going back to Gary's point around, we can create links with other European cities. I would love that, to try and overturn this ridiculous vote, you know, because it was tight, and the Czech Republic was very tight. So I think there is a will to do that, but you know, if you have a draconian visa system, or you know, huge tariff barriers, how can the mayor act in that kind of very contrived, constrained context? And so it's getting to a question here, but yes, my question is, you know, if we do look at society, if we do, where does the growth come from? Where do the high value, worthwhile jobs come from that actually give people, you know, some kind of real buy into society, you know, enable them to do things they want with their lives and their families? Because I think that's a big problem. Okay. Where are the good white collar jobs or even good manufacturing jobs?
Great,
that's friendly about it.
Great. Okay, there's lots of people. I'm
going to
go there and then go round. So,
Slack. Hi, thank you. Nigel Slack, an active citizen. Which means I'm one of the ones at city council meetings and argue with councillors is depending on the right thing. I just like comment on the idea that this is a historic change. I don't see that. This is yet another local government reorganisation. There's no constitutional basis to this. It's just an act of parliament. You can be got rid of as easily as we've been given it. And judging by what Craig was saying about the recent changes in the cabinet posts, it's actually jabby that DCLG is really not a good move in terms of the benefits for the evolution. He's proved himself incredibly centrist. And we've been very positive about Greater Manchester's role and what they've achieved. But we have to remember as well that, as the lady behind me was commenting about shifting the blame game, they've been given the budget for health with £1 billion hole in it.
Yeah.
And they've been given justice, which is likely to be cut by 25 to 30% next year. And look at Bristol, £60 million over 4 years. Sheffield cut that last year in one go. You know, it's such an imbalanced set of circumstances that we're being asked to deal with. And at the same time, we've been told that this city region mayor is the silver bullet or the magic pill that will solve it. But we have a problem because that's been based on economy and growth.
Okay.
At the moment, Barclays are forecasting the next year, next 4 quarters, I'm going to be recession.
So what's your kind of question for the
public? If we don't have the powerful growth that we're needing to actually succeed in terms of devolution, because a lot of the money coming from central government depends on growth and hitting the targets, if we don't have that, where does devolution go and where does the role of the city region mayor go?
Great question, okay. There was a question just here, and then I'm
going to
go to these two.
Okay. My name is Andy Tickles from the campaign for England, the revival of our city. But the panel, Sheffield City Region has got a huge amount of policy changes, including green belt, including national parks. Do you see that as a development of Sheffield City Region, or is it just white space built on and planning to be deregulated so that you can get the economic regeneration of that one?
I'm pretty sure of the answer to that one from the panel, but we will have the answer.
Thank you, Jane Thomas. I am on the Parkley Advisory Panel for the Education Park on the bonus campaign. Just picking up on this growth question, obviously Osborne's driver for this is about growth. It's about challenging how we see growth, and it's coming back to some of the questions that have already been raised about what does good growth look like. And I think one of the first things and the challenge to do is actually to use this as a way of reframing the economy and actually, first of all, challenging the tacked on the Tory narrative about economic growth and using this about reframing the economy that really does deliver for everybody. And obviously I'm going to say this from a fairness perspective, but actually what we should be doing is this model, is the mayoral model going to deliver for those people that are most disenfranchised, most removed from the system and most disengaged?
Yeah.
And for me, that's how we should be looking at that, and not just grow to any level. And just one other thing, the C40 model is quite good about how cities can operate globally in terms of certainly environmental protections. And one thing that nobody's mentioned so far is climate change, and that has to be also in the first 100 days.
You're absolutely right there, and that's one of the very good examples of cities recognising there's a lot they can do because they both produce a lot of pollution, but also our best place to deal with that. Great question, Nick.
I'm a Sheffield citizen. I see this really as a bolt-on from Osborne following the Scottish referendum, but not really giving back any powers to the city region. Now, the whole thing has changed now following the Brexit vote and potential loss of EU money. So, I mean, although I sort of broadly supported this devolution thing, despite my comments, how are we going to fill those gaps? Surely we should be looking at tax raising powers and things like, you know, following like Scotland have got. Otherwise, it will just be, like Nigel said over there, just another local government reorganisation.
So actually, you want to see, your question is, shouldn't we see more powers at a local level? Fiscal tax raising powers,
yeah,
to make sure that
there is
generally
empowered. Well, I mean, we had some sort of money coming from the EU for regional funding, and, you know,
yes,
like, that's all going out the window now. And Cameron, when Paul Blomfield asked the question, said that the country can guarantee that would still be forthcoming, etc.
Great. Any other quick comments or questions? And I'll go back to the panel.
I know I've had one, but. I get rather depressed about Europe and that we're coming out of Europe. It's all pessimism. We need to get optimism. There's great strides to be made for the future. We're not going to be a federal state of Europe. We're going to be Great Britain. We're going to work together. Let's not be pessimistic. Let's be optimistic for business and everybody. The mayor should be optimistic about how he can go and grow with the country, because in the long term, I think the vote was absolutely right.
Thank you. And then final question over there.
Yeah, thank you. It's on a similar theme about being more optimistic. I'm not quite as optimistic as that about Brexit, but I'll give my best shot. I think the better word is ambitious, and I think a lot of the comments around the devolution debate are linked to why aren't we being given more powers from central government. And I think the challenge and the opportunity for the new mayor is to say what powers I want, we want, my city region wants from government and be more demanding. And my question is on housing. I think we should be demanding things like ending rights to buy within the city region, allowing the receipts to be kept locally as in Scotland, powers to borrow to build, setting up a land commission, new mechanisms for land value capture, powers to set zoning. So, you know, given that the top priority on here is housing, what do people on the panel think the new mayor should be saying about housing? Be more ambitious.
Okay, some great questions there. There's a couple there on growth. I mean, where do the high value jobs come from? Where does devolution go if you're not going to see some of the growth that we've seen in the past? There's one on quality countryside, where that's an asset. Can I just check? I'm going to see the whole panel has one answer for whether that's a quality asset. I'll let you answer. And then there's a kind of really big question about, is this going to deliver for the most disenfranchised? Are there more powers that we should be and what's the opportunity, and then a point about housing and what the policy should look like. So growth, tax and housing. David, would you go at least a couple of
Well, on the issue of the countryside and the enormous asset we have, I think it's an underutilised asset. Not, I don't mean in terms of whether people from Sheffield and surrounding areas use it, because they historically always have, and from being a very small boy. I don't think we use it in terms of for selling the area as a great place to be, to come to invest in, to live in quite the way we should. We've got to pick up the ambition point. Whilst I might disagree about the issue of whether Brexit's a good idea or not, I think the ambition we now need to have is for what we can do, because we do have enormous strengths to draw, which I was trying to say earlier, and I think we need to look at that. On the question of powers, well, firstly, we need to battle for powers. If this is going to come off, then there ought to be a combined effort with the authorities across Britain for greater power. It's clear that the present government aren't going to give power to raise cash. They're just not going to give tax raising powers. However, it would be quite good for the mayor, picking up Jean's point about the first 100 days, which is what we were asked to do, if they did a mapping exercise with the lawyers on what powers already exist, historic powers that have been available to local government, new powers over the last 20 years, and how they could be best used to raise investment and therefore to invest in partnership with the private sector in growth. Because I think we're doing far less than we might do. There are good examples of authorities, including pension funds, by the way, which we keep talking about, and then we go away from them again. So we go around in circles. There's great enthusiasm, then people forget about it. And I think there's a real opportunity to do that if we can get this right. So I think the growth and the powers need to go together, but we need to use what we've got.
Yeah, great question. And that point about will it
benefit
the most disenfranchised?
Well, it won't at the moment. I mean, the great lesson of doctrine was it benefited anybody but the local people. And that's why the partnership board here in the city have been looking at this, why growth has to be inclusive growth. It has to be about the strength of greater equality, which has been shown not just in Scandinavia but worldwide to be a driver of growth. I mean, actually, the greater the equality, the greater the growth, the greater the involvement, the greater people's innovative skills are able to come out, because people feel that they're part of it rather than alienated from it. And we're a long way from that at the moment.
Okay, thank you. June, where does the growth come from? When you were talking about some of the contributions that employees make, where do you see the high value jobs coming from in the Sheffield City region, and what the role does the mayor growth is a bit more
startups.
Yes, I'm just going to say, David, what we need to do is certainly in terms of the different disenfranchised and the disadvantaged community, go back to what I said at the beginning. The first 3 months should be about communication and engagement, bottom up engagement, because if the local authorities, the mayor and the decision makers understand what the needs of the business community, understand what the drivers are going to be, then they can start to do that mapping, they can start to get that greater respect and work with those people and disenfranchise, disengage, and start to set those systems up. If we have the people there, we should be marry them up to the jobs that we're filling. It's about the skill set, isn't it? The people there, they need the skills. Let's have a career service back in schools, let's have something that works. figurehead saying, look, the Heritage is doing a good job in certain areas, but let's face up to it. You don't understand the business strategy. You're not going out there and listening. You've got your own agenda. And I've worked a lot with Heritage Conservatives, quite open, obviously. You know, I worked in the Labour Council, and my Labour colleague and I thought that, I'm sorry, I'm going to say this, my Labour guy thought that the business community was there to give people jobs. And they can only give people jobs if you create wealth and grow, you know. And we turn that round, and then I got a break in selling the sustainable.
You like him, do you?
I like we have to grow. And growth has to come first before jobs. Because what we need to grow is to control. We asked what good growth was. Good growth is high value, long paid jobs. I have a contact in the program. And when she's got any good investment in the investment, she brings them to the aspect. What sort of supply chain have you got for this particular sector? What's our abilities with its confidential? What's the skills? Availability of this sort of sector. And together, so the public and the private sector partnership comes together, we'll put an inward investment plan, which I hope brings in new investments in the city region. It's about partnership, it's about communication, it's about demonstrating to potential investors that we do have good universities, we've got a fantastic catapult in the city region. We get our transfer of that, we show that we've got collaborators, we show that we've got supply chain connections, and we show we can have the skills. If you show you can offer that, then somebody will come, then if you've got a good leisure offer, a good housing offer, a nice company side, such a board, you've got something to have. You need to work together.
Yes. Great. And Craig, your thoughts, particularly on the kind of housing point and the tax rates and stuff.
Yeah. Loads of stuff to get out there. There's a point here which I sort of thought about the transition based on, and I absolutely agree that should be part of the division from the start of giving local and regional authorities from a foothold in the institutions and not at the mercy of political ties so much. The question of whether or not civil servants ever really want devolution, I think it's a really good question, really good point to highlight, because we don't really know how much this was driven by Osborne. I suspect it really was. We know it was a Treasury agenda, more so than it was any other department. I know, I used to work at Treasury actually, and yes, you're absolutely right that Treasury civil servants' instinct is to not devolve, especially not devolve fiscal powers. And I think that Osborne was able to convince them to acquiesce to the devolution of spending power, because the budget was being cut anyway. So the development is able to acquiesce around some sort of devolution of tax powers in a very aggressive way. But there's been no real hint of devolution of borrowing powers, which is what local authorities really need to be able to borrow at cheap rates, as it would be a prison invest in their economies for the long term. And there doesn't seem to be any sign of that. I don't think what's what wanted the borrowing powers to devolve ultimately, but there's no way it would go past the Treasury. Anyway, if you wanted to. There was a question also about why Osborne wanted to do this in the first place, and how it was just a knee-jerk reaction to what happened in the Scottish independence referendum, how close that was. I mean, this system was already underway, so I don't think it was quite a knee-jerk reaction. Well, I actually relate this to the problem of growth, which quite a few people why ultimately George Osborne wanted to do this, why the Conservatives wanted to do this. I think it's because the British economy, we can be optimistic as we like about our future, but all capitalist economies are going to have a lower growth rate for the foreseeable future. So the area of unprecedented growth is over. It's more a period of what economists call it, secular stagnation. So our economies are not going to grow very much. The very successful ones will grow a little bit more than others. And I think that devolution really was really an answer to that problem, really. It was about creating the sense that local economies were more responsible for poor growth, which we will probably experience, with the UK as a whole will probably experience irrespective of Brexit. Yes, the cause of Brexit makes it far, far, far worse. There's nothing to be optimistic about in terms of Brexit at all. What the mayor will be hearing in the first 100 days is a very severe recession. Him or her will not have any power to do anything about it, Sheffield, but they'll be getting the blame for it. This goes back to the point today about where this was devolution of responsibility for growth. Housing and land. I think essentially what's the housing policies that are being devolved around planning, which affect land as well, I think your point is a really, really good one, and we do need to value our countryside, and there's a danger that we only give local authorities this limited range of powers around planning. What they will do is release land for housing, industrial development, so a huge warehouse somewhere on the outskirts of Rotherham perhaps, which may create a few jobs, but it's bad for the countryside and bad for the Sheffield economy in the long run. What we need to do, that as my colleague Sperry Thomas alluded to, is give local authorities and metro mayors power over the way their housing markets operate within the city, not just about releasing land, but give them the power to how land is used within the city as well.
Great, thank you. What I'd like to do, I'm going to try and sum up a few things. I think I can't sum up the whole debate because we've varied it quite widely. But before I do, I'd welcome the panel to say, we asked about the first 100 days, which is very difficult, really, but it's a way of getting people thinking about the short-term wins. I think you've all made a point that that's important. If you're thinking about the bigger issues, the long-term things, the things that people really, the mayor really needs to focus on, what one or two things, and just very briefly, just those headlines, would you say over the first term, which will be 3 years initially, 2020, and after that'll be 4 year terms, what should they really have in mind, Craig? Say very briefly.
I think a lot of what Jim said about manufacturing, I would actually concur with that. They are the right policies for boosting manufacturing and Brexit coming into it.
Can I just say there is a debate about I know that's absolutely your view about Brexit, but yeah, this is
true. Anyway, it's too late now.
Yes.
Sheffield needs to become a manufacturing economy once again. That's the only sustainable future for the economy. So I think there is an opportunity for devolution for that to happen if it goes in tandem with new industrial policy powers at a national level. We may get there.
Drive to use what we've got more effectively, and I think part of the role, if it's going to work at all, given the lack of powers, will be to coordinate what's already working and make it work better, getting the colleges, the universities, the business community much more linked up so that you can have, say, the supply chain. There should be an easy way with technology of being able to find out if somebody is doing something in the city region that you can buy from rather than buying outside, so that you can keep the power in here and you can circulate the money to keep the economy going. Secondly, that we ought to concentrate really heavily on startups. There's a postcode in East London, I think it's EC2, that created more startups in 2014 than Birmingham, Manchester, Liverpool and Sheffield put together. Now, some of them will fail, obviously, but it's about that dynamism. And our region, our city region area, actually did have that dynamism historically and did create. People didn't wait for somebody else to do it or a central government to do it. they did it. I think we've got to get back, socially as well as economically, to that entrepreneurial spirit. But it will be about building social capital, and it involves the local authorities devolving power to the neighbourhoods as well as devolving upwards to a city mayor. I don't think we should see the mayor as the answer. I think we should see the jigsaw and try to put all this together as the answer. If the mayor thinks they can do it from the mayoral office, they've got another thing to come.
Thank you. It's been a really valuable debate. It's ranged widely, and I can't hope to sum all of it up. And I think there's been consensus and there's been disagreement, and that's exactly what we should have when you're talking about personal data or anything the mayor should do. Certainly, I think people agree they've got to make an impact quickly. They're not going to they're going to communicate, engage, make sure this is genuinely engaging, not just the city, not just one area, but the whole of Sheffield City region. Understanding, perhaps rethinking the role of growth. It's got to be about not just economic issues, but social issues, inclusive growth. It's got to be about changing the relationship between central and local. So a number of people have said there's not enough powers, and that there's going to be some challenges around that, but there's also about getting on with it. And a number of people say just get on with it. Make sure it's not just about asking for new things and you might not get them. It's about doing what you can and getting on with it. And those international networks are very important. Clearly a debate about Brexit and how hard it's going to make it in the next few years, and some very optimistic and some much less optimistic. And I think certainly there will be different challenges. I think that's a very, I think nobody can deny that it will be different. As David says, we are where we are. So it's thinking about what can you do, what can't you do, and what difficulties will it create, and what tone do you set? I think the final point I'd make is there was something about confidence of the area and confidence of the mayor to do things, to focus on things and to get on with stuff, whether that's networks for cities or that's the start-ups, which is so important, whether that's about young people and skills. It's clear that they've got a lot to get on with. A lot to do in the short term, but actually a long-term agenda about skills, about inclusion, about reaching out to people. So there's real opportunities here, and I think assuming it's going to happen, one of the big opportunities is shaping it and making sure it's something that works for the area, and not just, final point, not just being restricted by the powers you've got. A lesson from London and from other places is the mayors looked at their former powers and they looked at what they could do because they were the mayor. Who they could bring together and have conversations about different things to get on with different things because they were the mayor and they just could. And I think that would be the note I'd like to end on. I think, Ronnie, through all of the things you've been talking about, getting on with it for the Sheffield City region and making sure it really is about what people in the Sheffield City region want is really important. I think the debate needs to run and run. We'll be doing more and more on this. Those stuff all for free on our website. But thank you so much for coming on this beautiful sunny evening.
Very, very, very,
very free.
Very quickly, at my work for 10 years in economic development, I'm just a city. It's always amazing. I'm very proud to be from the work we did. It was a family of little squabbles. Believe if you worked there, it was not an hour long discovery every day. But the message that went outside that family was, we are, look what we do, we have one hour long discovery, we're going to be less than that.